In general, if you see a patient like this who's had disease progression on first-line crizotinib, because obviously alectinib would be another choice, any preferences?
Yeah, those are the two drugs I talk to patients about for crizotinib resistance. Both are impressive. Alectinib, really impressive tolerability. Brigatinib, impressive tolerability with this small subset of patients who can get lung inflammation during that first week on therapy. For him, he wanted to be aggressive and get the best outcomes, and the data was impressive with the ALTA phase II trial of brigatinib, 12-month or longer median PFS, so really good not only at getting a response, but at preventing crizotinib resistance, and so that's why we went with brigatinib. The alectinib data for crizotinib resistance is a little less impressive, more like an 8-month median PFS, maybe doesn't quite cover all the same resistance mutations as brigatinib, and so that's why in his case we ended up choosing brigatinib. But I've had other patients who are a little more nervous, maybe. I had a kind of more nervous patient who was worried about the potential for brigatinib toxicity, and therefore she ended up picking alectinib. I present both options to patients.
And can you talk a little bit more about this pulmonary toxicity that's seen, the pathophysiology and clinical presentation and management?
It's not pneumonitis, right? So it's not like the pneumonitis we see that occurs 4, 6, 8 months into therapy and causes you to stop the drug. This is a sort of fairly early, almost allergic reaction that patients get. They can develop cough, shortness of breath. It usually occurs in that first week. And so what they figured out during early drug development was if you give the dose at 90 milligrams a day for the first week and then increase to 180 milligrams a day, you can prevent that a lung reaction from occurring most of the time. And in the eventual clinical trial, the phase II trial, I think the incidence was only in the range of 6%. And so that's, you know, pretty uncommon. If you do see it, if you do get these respiratory symptoms during the first week, the patient needs to stop the drug, needs to make sure it recovers. You can rechallenge again, and some patients can continue on therapy, but it certainly is an alarming symptom you need to make sure patients are aware of.
Have you seen it? And in terms of what's been reported, how severe can it be?
I've not seen it myself. It can be very severe. In the phase I trial, when they looked at higher doses of brigatinib, it can be extremely severe, and I think they even had a fatality. At the 90 milligrams followed by 180, it seems to be quite manageable. The important point is if you're going to prescribe the drug, don't just write for 180. Like, you really do want to give that 90 milligram 1 week lead-in and sort of check with the patient during that first week. And then once they get to the second week, honestly, the drug is very well tolerated and it can be smooth sailing for a long time.
And are corticosteroids used?
Yeah, if they do develop symptoms, you can give them steroids, interrupt, you know, monitor, get a chest X-ray. Don't need a hospitalization necessarily, but yes, steroids can. You just want to quickly turn this reaction off and get them back to feeling normal.
Can you talk a little bit about how you approach? I'm guessing right now, typically you're using alectinib first line?
Yes. So my standard first line ALK therapy is alectinib, which is very well tolerated. In the ALKS trials, shows really very prolonged PFS. I don't find that everyone responds. Amazingly, there are still some patients who just have an aggressive biology and have a transient benefit, but the vast majority of patients can respond systemically into the brain. And it's, you know, led to PFSs in the range of 2, 3 years or longer for some patients. And so I have some patients on alectinib for a very long time.